The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 44, and our Lord is speaking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 1866, the United States government signed a treaty with a tribe called the Muskego Tribe, sometimes referred to as the Creek Nation, and giving them plots of land for free out in the sort of the middle of Oklahoma, a little bit to the east of Oklahoma City, a big portion of the state. And later on, since Muskego had at one time owned slaves, the tribe themselves owned slaves, African slaves, they also required them at a certain point to give up part of their land that they now had for some of these slaves as well. In 1913, there happened to be a little 10-year-old girl, and her name was Sarah Rector, and she was half from the Muskego tribe and half from a slave family. And so she was going to now get to inherit a large portion of land. And she was suddenly allotted, I believe it was 160 acres of land, barren land, completely, seemingly worthless land in Oklahoma, just full of dust and dirt. And her family had a hard time paying the taxes on the land. And her dad looked into selling it at one point and finally decided they wouldn't allow him to sell it for some reason, finally decided to lease the land to the Standard Oil Company. Well, the oil company came in and did some excavating and discovered that here down underneath the dirt was oil. And this little girl at age 11 suddenly became the owner of this very wealthy land. And she went on to become one of the first black millionaires in the United States, Sarah Rector. Very interesting story. What had appeared to be, to so many people, pretty much just kind of worthless land ended up to actually possess down below it something that was of much, much greater value. Jesus is using a very similar image for us here today in our text. And using the picture that the believer in Christ is like someone who, by God's grace now, has come to realize the tremendous value that we have, the treasure that is buried in the things of God that the rest of the world doesn't always see. So the unbelieving world, just like people looking at that barren plot of land, the unbelieving world doesn't see any real value to the things of God's kingdom. And it has no real appreciation for what all of this contains, the means of grace, the ministry, the word of God, and all of that. And the world looks at those who, by grace, have been given faith in this. The world looks at us and kind of laughs and sometimes even mocks us a little bit. And especially for the intensity with which we care about these things, that we care about having schools to teach our children about this and care about giving offerings to the church to make sure that this message continues to go on, and dedicating lives to this and making sure that it's in our families and so on. And if you will, how tightly we hold on to the deed of this land that in their mind seems so absolutely worthless. And those of us who, by God's grace, have been given the eyes of faith to love and appreciate the things of Christ, we still understand that ridicule. We get it. We know what it's like to think that way, because in our hearts, we also still have part of us that kind of is tempted back to look at the things of the kingdom of God as maybe not being so great as well. And we may start to establish kind of the real estate value that the world puts into the things of God. And sometimes we might find ourselves kind of asking, you know, is it really worth it that I care so much about this stuff? Is it really worth it that I let this be so dominant in my life? Is it really worth it that I spend so much time and focus and attention with this? And there's so many other important things that are kind of going on out there in life. So we understand the unbelieving world doesn't get our intensity about possessing this, but we understand their questioning of it because we still have inside of all of us our sinful human nature that causes us to struggle with these things. And the other thing is we don't yet still actually have in our hands the treasures of what heaven is going to be like. And so sometimes we can may wonder if it's worth investing all of this time and energy into this. Throughout Scripture, God often speaks to us about how he hides the most wonderful, precious things he can give us in sometimes the most lowly places. And the treasure is kind of buried in things that don't seem to be that exciting to the world. This was one of the reasons why the Jewish people predominantly rejected Christ. Jesus just seemed like too humble and lowly of a man. How could this possibly be the great Messiah that was supposed to come into the world? We think about the Word of God and what the Bible gives us through the letters that God writes to us and so on. To the world, it looks like a silly old book. Scholars are constantly, generation after generation, trying to pick apart things that they find doesn't really fit and so on. But it's interesting, the Bible always endures, doesn't it? Seems to just hang in there. And yet, it's easy for us maybe to get caught up in some of that questioning of things as well. Or take the simple little act that the Holy Spirit works in your heart and mind of repentance. When we realize our sin and how we have offended God by things we've done or said and things, and when that kind of jabs at our conscience and makes us aware of just how desperately we need God's forgiveness and grace because of Jesus, that's something that nobody sees in the world, and it seems so frivolous and meaningless to the unbelieving world. And yet, the angels in heaven are rejoicing when that takes place. So God so often takes the wonderful things of his kingdom and kind of buries them in these lowly things. Think of baptism, how simple and just kind of lowly it appears to the world. And yet there God tells us it's for the forgiveness of sins, to give us the holiness we need to get to heaven. The Lord's Supper is another example, and how probably many people in the world kind of mock that whole thing, and yet here's the body and blood of the Son of God that we take into our mouths to be assured of our forgiveness so we can go to heaven. So all this stuff that to the world's way of looking at things, and maybe we can be tempted sometimes to look at it that way too, appears to be kind of worthless dirt, worthless soil. And yet buried down inside of it is such a tremendous, tremendous treasure. Buried inside of all of this, the full forgiveness of our sins. The holy robe of righteousness is given to us that the saints in heaven are already wearing. And the promise of our own resurrection, the promise of everlasting life. Your baptismal certificate is kind of like the deed to the land of heaven. And we should hang it on the walls of our bedrooms with pride that God has deemed us worthy of giving us the faith to possess that wonderful home we're waiting for. So faith, by God's grace, allows us to look at what the world sees as meaningless and realize that there's quite a treasure buried here. Think of how many Christians through the years have been willing to give up the earthly things of their life in order to make sure they hold on to their Savior and possess him. And that not only happened way back in the early church, but it's still happening today as well. So how did we learn about the value of what's under the dirt. How did we learn about the tremendous treasure that's there? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the eyes of faith to recognize there's something there that is so extremely important. And possessing this property, having this land that has the treasure buried in it, now ranks higher than absolutely anything else we could ever have in life. And when somebody truly comes to faith in Christ and by God's grace now possesses that, all the other blessings of life, they're important, but they're now of much lesser value. I remember reading a story about a woman in our Peruvian mission and who had been brought to faith in Christ when she was in her early 20s. And she was still living at home with her parents in a little hut of a house, dirt floor. But she went out and earned the money to add on an additional room to their little house so that she could teach the children in the neighborhood about their Savior. Just think how amazing that is, how wonderful it is. I bet a lot of her neighbors thought she was crazy. And yet here, when the gospel meant so much to her in her heart, she recognized how valuable it was. Think about Moses. Moses was living in luxury in an Egyptian palace of the Pharaoh, growing up with all of that and the prestige with all of that. And yet, when the time for the great Exodus came, he was willing to give it all up in order to identify himself with these slave people who are going to now exit the country of Egypt and to go through all of the hardships that they would go through in the years ahead. And I'm sure there were days when he wondered if it was all worth it too. We kind of sense that in Scripture. Just like us, there are times when we may wonder, is this really all worth it? And so on. And yet, we know what's coming. We know that there's a day that's coming when what is under the soil will be unearthed. And when the treasure, this amazing treasure of life in heaven, will finally be granted to us. And we'll get to live in that and to know what that is like. But in the meantime, the just shall live by faith. In the meantime, we just live in the faith of waiting for that to finally arrive. But while that's happening, hold on to the deed. Hold on to the title that you already have to that land of heaven. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do nothing good without you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.